Penguin Random House Audio presents Say No More by Karen Rose. Read for you by Joel Frumkin. Prologue. Redding, California, 13 years ago. Tuesday, May 22nd, 4:30 a.m. She was going to die. Rhoda knew it was true. There was no way Brother DJ would take her back to Eden, and even if he would, the result would be the same. She didn't want to go back. Ever. She cursed the day she'd first climbed into the bed of this truck all those years ago. How many? She struggled to remember. DJ's father, Waylon, had been behind the wheel that night, and she'd gathered her children in her lap, promising them that everything would be okay. That they were going to a new home where everything would be wonderful and they'd have toys and food and a warm bed to sleep in. How stupid was I? Naive and stupid. Mercy had only been a year old, so she'd never known the scary time before when they didn't always have dinner because Rhoda hadn't turned enough tricks the previous night. But Gideon had seen her come home from a night on the streets of San Francisco with bruises on her face, and no breakfast for them because a John had refused to pay. When she'd promised her son a better life, he believed her, willingly, eagerly, climbing into the bed of the truck that would take them to paradise. To Eden. To Eden. She'd spit, but her mouth was too dry. Eden had been no paradise. It had been hell. Gideon had only been 5 years old that day. So precious and smart, wise before his time. My beautiful boy. He'd be 17 now, well on his way to becoming a man. She hoped, prayed. Gideon, my beautiful son. She'd never see him again in this lifetime. She hoped he was well, that he'd survived. She'd cursed herself every night for the past 4 years for leaving him alone on his 13th birthday, injured, maybe even dying. Watching Waylon dump his limp body behind a dumpster, trying to catch one last glimpse of her son as Waylon tied her hands behind her, pushing her face first into the truck bed, then taking his payment for Gideon's escape from Eden, leaving her torn and bleeding. It had been the worst day of her life. Until she'd climbed into the bed of this truck a third time, her daughter in her arms. This time it was being driven by Waylon's son, DJ, who'd inherited it when Waylon died. DJ's price for the ride out of Eden had been the same as when Waylon had driven her to this same bus station, while she clutched at an injured Gideon. And even though she'd been married to other men both times, she'd complied. She'd sold her body before Eden for a lot less. What was food and shelter when the lives of your children were in danger? Nothing. So she'd paid without complaint. The day she'd gotten Gideon out, Brother Waylon had taken her back to Eden to pay for her crimes. She had a sick feeling that today's outcome with DJ would not be the same. She looked down at the trembling body she held too closely. Mercy was burning up. Eden's healer hadn't been able to help, but that hadn't been too big a surprise. Sister Colleen dealt with colds and minor cuts. Mercy had an infection. It was bad, very bad. So progressed that it could be detected by scent alone. Colleen simply wasn't equipped to deal with such things. Which was why Rhoda had taken this drastic step. Why she'd bartered her own life to get Mercy out. To get her away. Hopefully to safety, although anywhere was better than the place they'd left behind. Eden. Rhoda quelled what would have been a bitter laugh. She'd welcome death, were it not for the small body she held. Lovingly, she brushed a lock of black hair from Mercy's sweat-covered forehead. How I wanted to see you grow up. Although Mercy was already grown up. She'd had her 12th birthday nearly a year ago. Rhoda remembered turning 12, remembered playing games with her friends. Mercy's birthday had been nothing like that. Mercy's birthday, had been filled with tears and pain and fear. So much fear. It's all my fault. I agreed to go to Eden, to blindly take my children with me. I believed a stranger. He'd promised her food and shelter and a safe place to raise her children, and Rhoda had believed him, her children paying the price for her stupidity. I'm so sorry, Rhoda whispered. So very sorry. Mercy's eyelids fluttered, her lashes lifting to reveal bright green eyes, so like those of her brother. Mama. Her murmur was hoarse and harsh. It hurts. I know, baby. It'll be better soon. Rhoda had no idea if that was true or not, but the words seemed to soothe her precious daughter, who closed her eyes again. Hopefully she was asleep, or unconscious. Rhoda hoped it was the latter, actually. She hoped that Mercy had been unaware when DJ Belmont had stopped the truck an hour into their trip, and then another hour after that. And yet another hour after that, taking his payment from Rhoda's body. But getting Mercy out of Eden would be worth anything Rhoda had to endure. They were almost there, almost to the bus stop where she'd left Gideon 4 years before. She leaned down to whisper in Mercy's ear, "Mercy, honey, are you awake?" Mercy's chin dipped in a silent nod. "I need you to listen to me. This is important. Find Gideon. He'll help you." Mercy's eyes opened wide, her shock apparent. "He can't. He's dead." "No, baby, he's not." "Please let that be true." "He escaped. I smuggled him out that night, just like I'm getting you out now. He is alive, and you need to find him."
Emotion flashed in her daughter's green eyes.
"He is alive, but you said..."
"I know what I said,"
Rhoda hissed, prepared for Mercy's disbelief.
"I played the part of a grieving mother too well,
except that she hadn't been grieving his death. She'd grieved the fact that her actions had put both of her children in danger. She'd grieved that she'd left him alone, here, at this bus stop, while he bled and suffered.
"But you need to believe me now. He is alive, and he will help you. Find him, Mercy."
Mercy's nostrils flared, her eyes narrowing in anger.
"No!"
Rhoda blinked, stunned to hear the venom in her daughter's voice.
"What? Why not? He's selfish, and I never want to see him again. He escaped. He lived while we..."
Tears welled in Mercy's eyes.
"We suffered, Mama. We suffered because he was selfish."
"No, Mercy, he wasn't selfish. Never that."
"No, I'll be fine without him. We'll be fine, you and me."
Rhoda's eyes filled with tears.
"Not we, my sweet girl. Just you."
She wouldn't be allowed to go with her daughter. She was certain.
"Mercy, baby, there's something you need to know about Gideon."
Mercy turned her face away, clenching her eyes closed.
"No, there was a reason he left."
A good reason. Good enough that she'd chosen to part with her child, her only son, leaving him here, hoping that someone would find him, help him.
"I know. He didn't want to be apprenticed. He didn't want to work. He was lazy and selfish."
Mercy spat the words she'd been fed by the community, by Mercy's own husband. Words that Rhoda had been too terrified to call what they were. Evil lies. Now she was going to lose both of her children, because she was never going to be allowed to live after this latest show of defiance. How had she let this happen? How had it come to this?
"No, Mercy."
Rhoda shook her head.
"He wasn't lazy. He wasn't selfish.
He was attacked. He was beaten. He was all but dead.
He was..."
The truck abruptly stopped, and Rhoda cursed herself for putting the truth off too long. It was too late. She had so much to tell her daughter and only seconds to do so.
"Mercedes," she whispered hoarsely. "You are Mercedes Reynolds."
Mercy's eyes widened in confusion.
"What?"
The driver's door opened. DJ was coming.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?